We're doing the Psalms, as you know. And today, we have a penitential psalm, Psalm 106. And it's a long psalm. Penitential psalms have to be long. We've got a lot to repent for. Now, the wonderful thing about this lesson we learned from this psalm is to acknowledge our sins. And the other thing we can learn is to take corporate responsibility. You know, we're embarrassed by the sins of the church, I hope. Even when you look back, why didn't we speak up about slavery? Nobody did. That was wrong. And then we've had the scandals of our own day. And you see, a person of faith takes that personally. You know, I'm guilty. I belong to a guilty church. And we need the mercy of God. And that's why often my intention is for the church, you see. God is placed in our midst, and we're part of that, was placed. The very body of Christ. We are bound physically to the Lord Christ by the grace of baptism. He has placed that here for the salvation of the world. And so our biggest preoccupation is to respond to the Lord in gratitude and then to preach the gospel, to tell people by example, by friendliness, by words, by whatever. You see? It's so this psalm, it starts off pretty encouraging. The first few lines of the psalm, oh, I keep forgetting. My little English text, you know, it's one behind. You know that I got Catholic numbering in this psalm. It's okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. How many psalms start that way, huh? Hodohula donai, you know. Acknowledge, proclaim, tell the world. About the Lord, see? Acknowledge the Lord. Because He is good, Kitov. And His love, in this translation, His hesed, endures forever. He's never going to change His mind. You just heard it. Solomon got himself totally mixed up. The wisest man there was. Didn't take long to get mixed up. But God never went back on His promise to David. So while 10 tribes took off, there was 2 that stayed loyal to David. And to David's heirs, you see, where the others took off. And finally, the whole thing was shut down, as I've said so many times. And for 600 years, the Jews hung on to the promises. There were enough saints among them, you see, to hang on to the promises. And to take and recite these psalms, you see. They are happy who do what is right. By the way, I should have pointed out. Did you notice? If we had an hour, we could really do a good job here, you know. Did you notice? Solomon was old. His wives had turned his heart to strange God. And his heart was not entirely with the Lord. You see? As the heart of his father David had been. By adoring Ashtart and Milcom and so forth. He did not follow unreservedly the Lord. You see the difficulty, what the problem is? You know, divided heart. Divided heart. So, the marvelous thing is that the Holy Spirit gives us the words of repentance. We don't have to make them up, you know. We've got them. The truth, oh my God, I am heartily sorry. You know, we get these to help us out. You see? And then it starts in verse 6. Our sin is the sin of our fathers. We have done wrong. Our deeds have been evil. And then it starts the list. We've been like this from the beginning. And we've come now, and this is what this psalm is for, to repent, to turn back, because we are sure of your forgiveness. God wrote this psalm so we'd have something to say. You see, we are sure. You see, our fathers, when they were in Egypt, gave no heed to your wonderful deeds. All those things that the Lord did, and they get, you know, 2 days out in the desert and are already complaining. Like us. You see, this is a precious gift. It's a golden thread. It's a golden gift, repentance. Founded on that act of love in which Jesus died on the cross, the only one, along with Mary, who never needed repentance. But he's part of a sinful people. And you can hear this when he tells the story, for instance, of the two men who go to the temple. And the Pharisees up there telling God how great he is. He, the Pharisee, not God. And the other guy's in the back. And when Jesus tells this story, he says about this guy in the back, you see, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Pray that when you read those words, the Holy Spirit puts on your heart the enthusiasm with which Jesus says this. He's identified with that one. The sinless Son of God. Oh God, be merciful to me. You see, he's thrilled with that. It's like we just had it in morning prayer this morning. You know, it's Isaiah 61. You're going to build me a house. This is after the exile. They're back. They're going to build a house. They're going to build a house to prove we've arrived. And they'll go worship there. But I mean, it's like some of the national, the Italians and the Polish and the Irish, you know, building churches in the inner city when they first got here. We're here. That's nice. But what about God? I mean, so that God says, the earth is mine. The whole world is mine. What, you know, this is the man for whom I have regard. The poor and humble who trembles at my word. That's a perfect description of Jesus. And so you see, they forgot the greatness of your love at the Red Sea, defied the Most High. Yet he saved them for the sake of his name in order to make known his power. He threatened the Red Sea, it dried up, and all he did for them, the water covered their oppressors. Not one of them was left alive. Then they believed in his words, then they sang his praises, but they soon forgot his deeds. They would not wait upon his will. That's key. We don't have time. That Hebrew phrase, you see, to wait upon his will. All I want, you know the other psalm that goes, like the maid is watching the hand of her mistress to see what she's supposed to do next, you know? Do this, do that. That's the way we are. We are, Lord. We want to watch your hand. See what you want done. You see, he granted them the favor they asked. And so then he sent disease among them. They rebelled, envious of Moses. And you know, but you see, it's not trying to say, Our ancestors were terrible, but we're great. They're saying, we belong to a sinful people. And this precious gold of repentance, you see, it's a gift of love. The Father teaches us how to repent so that he can shower us with blessing. If you could just pray today, get this in Luke, that text, you know, about the Samaritan. Not the Samaritan, the guy in the back of the temple. I just asked the Lord, can you give me something of that enthusiasm with which you say that? He's so thrilled by this guy because he's truthful. He's not only truthful about his sins, he's truthful about the mercy of the Father. And that, I just remember one reading that and just taken over by the Lord's enthusiasm as he says that. There's somebody talking to my, he's making up the story, but I mean, there's somebody repenting to my Father, accepting that gift, and therefore he goes home justified. And not the other guy. It's a precious, precious psalm. It goes on and on. We did this, we did that, and we got in the land, and then we started worshiping everybody else's gods, and then we, you know, and it's all true. But the Holy Spirit gave them that. As it says in Hosea 14, the last chapter, take with you words and return to me. It's beautiful. Leave your bulls and goats their home. Just take with you words and come to me. What words? I repent, Lord. I'm sorry. I am a jerk. You see? And he says, yeah, I know, but I love you. It's such a precious thing, repentance. It's different than guilt. It's different than fear. You know, it's different than a bad self-image. You know, it's love for the Father and confidence in him. And when we see that, we're touched. And we, you know, like Peter, get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You see? It's not the sin that keeps us away from God. It's the untruth.